We begin the current daf from Sechtes Ba Metzia daf Chav Tes. We begin on the bottom line of Chav Ches Mebeis, where the Gemara continues discussing the Mishnah from the previous daf. And that is, the Mishnah on the previous daf spoke about different details in the halach of Hashavas Aveda, and that is, how long does a person hold on to a lost object if it's going to be costing him money? So in that, the Mishnah spoke about different types of objects, even in regards to different types of animals. If there's an animal that's oisiv oichel, that it does work, and it then can consume what it works, so it's not costing you more than what it's going to give you because it's working, it's plowing, so it's making money for you, and although you have to feed it, but it's covering those costs, so then you hold on to it for a long time, as the Gemara explained, for 12 months. But if it's something that's ain't oisiv oichel, if it doesn't make money because it's too young to work, but you still have to feed it, then the halacha is, and you hold on to it for much shorter, as we said in the Gemara, depending if there's food available in the fields or not, depending how long it's going to be, 30 days, 3 months, but it's something that's sold on at a quicker time. Then the Mishnah spoke about, so what do you do after you sell it? Then you have the money. What's the halacha? What do you do with that money? So we have a machlokes, and that's what the Gemara quotes. The Mishnah said, ma yehe b'dam. What happens to those money? So you sold off those animals, the calves, the young donkeys. They were too costly to hold on to it because you're not going to be returning to him what he lost, because you're going to be charging him for all the money you fed his animal. So you sell it and you have the money. You'll be able to give him back the value of that animal. But what happens with that money in the meantime? On that, Reb Tarfon said, Yishtamish b'chulu, which the quote from our mission was that he says, you can use the money. And therefore, since you're using it, if it gets lost, you're responsible for that loss. Because of, as the Gemara will explain, when you have a certain hana, pleasure from an object, you become more responsible. And Rav Kiva said, you're not allowed to use the money, and therefore, if it gets lost, I'm not responsible for it, because it wasn't something that I was using, and therefore, there should be no reason why I would be required into liability, in other words, if something happens to it. And therefore, since I can't use it, I'm not responsible. So the Gemara explains their machloikas. Ad kan loy pligi. Up until now, what it seems like the only thing that Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Tarfon were arguing about regarding if you should be responsible if it gets lost or not, we continue on top of Chavtesim and Aleph, was Elikish and Nishtamash Ben. If you read the words of the Machlok, it sounds like that this is what they're arguing about. That is, since you're allowed to go ahead and use the money, so that's the Machlok. Since Rabbi Tarfon says you're allowed to use it, that's why you're Chayiv Nachrais, you're responsible if something happens to it. And Rabbi Kiva says you're not allowed to use it, therefore you're not responsible. However, what it sounds like, which is the Gemara is going to point out in a moment, is that just by the fact that you're busy with the mitzvah of watching the money, which is part of the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, that maybe you would say that since you're busy with watching the money, and therefore you're considered an oisik b'mitzvah, you're involved in the mitzvah, so then if a poor person comes to your household, and he wants the mitzvah tzedakah, he wants you to give him a piece of bread, you don't have to give him, because you're patur in that mitzvah, you're exempt from doing that other mitzvah. When you're busy with a mitzvah that requires your attention, then you don't have to go involved and go ahead and give the poor person that piece of bread. So you're saving money because you're busy with a different mitzvah. That, it doesn't sound like either one of them agree to that svara. Because that's what would be if, let's say, you wouldn't be allowed to use the money, but just by the fact that you're busy watching the money, that itself should be considered on some level that you're like a shomer sacher, that you're not just watching it for free, you're getting something out of it. What are you getting out of it? By the fact that you don't have to give the poor person bread, you're saving all the people coming to collecting at your door, although it's a mitzvah and a beautiful mitzvah, you want to do it, but when you're busy with this mitzvah of watching the Aveda, that maybe you would say that would be considered some type of hana you're getting, and therefore you'd be liable for an achrayis because you're getting something out of it. And that it sounds like that's no. Neither one of Reb Tarfon and Reb Kiva said such a thing. They're only arguing if you can actually use the money. You can go ahead and spend it, go to the store and buy things with it. Then when he comes to collect his money, you'll give him other money, but you can use it in the meantime. That was their machlekes. Would that be considered something to make you chayv nachrayis? If you can use it, then you're responsible. Like any person that's using something and he's getting out of it, he has a higher level of responsibility, as we're going to explain in a moment. Versus Reb Kiva says, no, you can't use it, so you're much lower level of responsibility because you're not getting so much out of it. And that's why you're not going to be chayv nachrayis. So as the Gemara says, avaloi nishtamash ben, however, if you were not allowed to use it, as Rashi explains, when we're talking about using or not using it, as the quotes in our Mishnah, it doesn't necessarily mean using it. It means the ability to use it. Since you're permitted to use it, that was the machlekes Reb Tarfon and Reb Kiva. However, if you would not be able to use it, then everyone would agree, im avdei patur, if it would get lost, then you'd be exempt. Because the whole reason why Reb Tarfon in our Mishnah says you're chayiv in achrayis, you're responsible if it gets lost, is only because you could use it. But if you couldn't, it seems like everyone would agree you wouldn't be responsible. Avad the Gemara says, if so, let's say our Mishnah, from both Tanoim, would refute the opinion of Rabbi Yosef, the Itma, like we learned as follows, the following machloikas. Shem Raveda, which is exactly the discussion that we're talking about in our Mishnah. Somebody that's watching a lost object, which is over here, the monies. This is that person's lost object. He didn't come, so he sold it off, and now you're waiting for him to come. You're watching this lost object. Rabba Amar Kishrei Mechinim. Rabba says that, now you have responsibility to watch this. It's someone else's money. You have responsibility to return it to him. However, what status does the person have? And that is, there are basically three shaymrim, three different categories of people that are watching someone else's object, and therefore each one's going to have a different halacha. There's what's called a shaymrim chinam, which means that he watches for free. He doesn't get anything out of it. He's not getting paid. He's doing the person a favor. So therefore, we're not going to make him so responsible because he's not doing something that should make him responsible. So therefore, the only thing he's liable for that he's responsible is what's called pshia, negligence. He did something that was irresponsible. For that, he's going to be responsible if something happens to it. And therefore, if let's say he's in a bad neighborhood and he leaves out the bike right there in front of all these bad types of characters and it gets stolen, so of course you're going to be responsible because you were negligent. However, if it wasn't any negligence, it got stolen or got lost, or if let's say for sure if what's called an oinis, if the animal just died, the car just died, then of course on those two categories you're going to be exempt. Then there's a higher category of what's called a shomer sachar, that he's watching it, but he's getting something out of it. He's getting paid for it, he can use the item. So on that, the halacha is going to be that he's going to be Potter on Einstein is going to be exempt from something if, let's say, it just suddenly dies, something that you had no control over whatsoever. However, for Gneva Vaved, if it gets lost or stolen, and for sure on Pshia, he's going to be Chayav. And then there's the highest category, that of a Shoyal. He's borrowing. He's total pleasure. He's taking someone else's things for his own needs. And that we say, not only is he Chayav on Pshia, on negligence, if he does something irresponsible, or Gneva Vaved, if it gets stolen or lost, but even if something just dies, an oinus happens, lightning strikes it, and something happens to it, even then, what's called an oinus is going to be chayv. So regarding a shomer aveda, someone that watches a lost object, this was the machlekes, what type of shomer is this person? Rabba Amar Kishrei Mechinim, he said he's like someone that watches for free, and therefore, he's not going to be chayv on gneva aveda, if it gets lost or stolen, only on pshia, on negligence, because what's he getting out of it? He's watching lost objects. He's not getting paid for it. So that's why Rabbi very simply says, you're like a shomer mechinim, you're watching it for free, you're not going to be chayv on gneva aveda. Rabbi Yosef Amar, he says, no, kishem es sachar. You have a halacha like a watchman that gets paid. Now, who's paying him? The reason why he's going to be chayv on gneva aveda, according to Rabbi Yosef, is because, as we had mentioned this before, that since he's watching this aveda, that's a mitzvah that he's engaged in. If a poor person comes to the door and asks for bread, he says, look, I'm busy with a mitzvah. I appreciate that you know, there's a mitzvah tzedakah, but I can't give you the piece of bread right now because I'm busy doing this. Because oisik b'mitzvah, when you're involved in a mitzvah, you're part of a mitzvah. And therefore, Rav Yisrael says, you're gaining out of this. That's called sachar. That's called schar. And therefore, you're called a shomer sachar. And hence, you would just made to a higher level of a shomer, and you're chayav on gneva aveda. That's their machlokes. So that the Gemara says, L'chayre, it would seem that our Mishnah, both Tanoim, disagree with Rabbi Yosef. Because their whole machlekes was only if you could use the actual money or not, would that make you someone that would be considered a higher level, and therefore would a higher level of responsibility? But if you can't use the money, then everyone would agree, just by watching that wouldn't make you a shomer sachar, that would make you just a shomer chinam. You wouldn't be responsible for gneva aveda. That's not like Rabbi Yosef, who said you are like a shomer sachar just by the virtue of watching it, because you don't have to give bread to a poor person. On that, Amalek Rabbi Yosef, would answer you as follows. The gneva aveda, regarding if it gets stolen or lost, the kuli ami loy pligi dechayv, nobody argues, both Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Tarfon, they both agree that you would be responsible for if it gets lost or stolen, like a shomer sachar, like a watchman that gets paid. Now, ki pligi, what is this that they're arguing about? It's regarding things that happen against your will, that you have no choice over, of someone that's like a shayl, like we said, that someone that's a borrower, as the Gemara explains. Reb Tavern holds, Shari le Rabbanan l'shtamushi b'gavayr. The Rabbanan, our sages, permitted this person that found this aveda and he's watching it, to use the money. And therefore, v'havalei shayl alayu. Therefore, he has, quote, the halacha of a borrower, because he's using someone else's item. It's like borrowing that money that the person had, and therefore you're going to be chayiv even on einsin. That's what Reb Tarfon held. Reb Kiva Saba, Reb Kiva held, no, lo yishori le'rabban l'shtemush b'gavai. Rabban did not let you use that money. You can't use it. It's not yours. He never gave you permission. And therefore, you don't have halacha like a borrower, which is that a borrower is someone that's using. He borrowed the item without paying for it to be able to use this. And here you also, according to Reb Tarfon, you're using the other person's item without paying usage for it. And the Rebbe Kiva says, no, you're not a shul because you can't use it. And therefore, you're going to be exempt from what? From Einzin. But Rav Yitzchak says, everybody agrees in our Mishnah that Geneva Vaveda, you are going to be chayiv. This that you're arguing about, if you're allowed to use it, and therefore, would that make you chayiv in Achrayis? That's a reference to what type of Achrayis? What type of responsibility? Not for Pshia, for sure not, because that you're always going to be responsible for. And not even for Geneva Vaveda, because here they both agree, like me, that you are a Shemesacher, because of the Isik B'mitzvah, Potem, and the Mitzvah element. But rather, what they're arguing about, would you be chayiv even in Einzin? Reb Tarfon says yes, and Reb Kiva says no. But again, everyone agrees that it is like a Shemesacha that you're chayiving a Neva Aveda. And that the Gemara asks, Ihachi, if it's like Reb Yosef, Lefikach da'amir Reb Kiva lamali. This that Reb Kiva said in our Mishnah, and therefore, what is that necessary for? In other words, since Reb Kiva says that you're not allowed to use the money, so where would I enter my mind that you would be chayiv in Einzin of what a Shoyl is chayivin? That he would have to say that you're not going to be chayiv. In other words, the words of our Mishnah is Reb Kiva says, "Lo yishtamish ben yinala to use it. Lafikach im avdu. Therefore, if it gets lost in the chayiv b'chayusin, you're not going to be responsible for what happens to it." Now, based on the way Reb Yosef is interpreting it, he's saying that what they're discussing is not geneva v'aveda. They're discussing einzin of what a shoyl is usually responsible for. Now, if you're not even using it, how could we even entertain that Rekiva would have to finish off his sentence to say, and you know why? And because of that, because you can't use it, you're not going to be chayv in achrayis. Now, how would I be chayv in achrayis of oinzin if I'm not even using the object? As the Gemara explains, Iyamrit bishleima b'gneiva v'avedahu depligi, if you say, like Rabbah said, that their machlekes was regarding if it gets stolen or lost, so Haini Diktani, that would make sense what Rabbi Kiva says. Rabbi Kiva Omer, lo yishtamish ben. You cannot use it. Lafikach im avdu. That's why if it gets lost, in the chayv brach yusin, that's why you're not responsible even for if it gets lost. And as the Gemara explains, because Sokadei Dechamina, I would have thought to say that Shemes Sachar Havakat Rabbi Yosef, I would have thought to say that maybe even if you can't use it, that's what Rabbi Kiva is saying. He's saying two parts if you hold like Rabbah. First, he's saying, look, you can't use it. So that's one reason why you're not going to be chayiv in achrayis of geneva v'aveda. Because there's no sachar. There's no reward. There's no gain. Now, but why do you have to finish off the sentence and say, and therefore, you're not going to be chayiv because he wanted to exclude from what Rabbi Yosef says. To not to entertain that, you would think that maybe no, even if you cannot use it, Rabbi Kiva is saying, you would think that you would be chayiv in geneva v'aveda. How so? Because there is somewhat of schar. What's the schar? Like Rabbi Yosef says, that he says that because Isik b'mitzvah, when you're busy with the mitzvah of watching the lost object, you're putter from the mitzvah of giving the bread to the poor person. And therefore, ube gneva v'aveda mechayiv. So at least you should be chayiv in gneva v'aveda, as Rabbi Yosef would say. Kamash balan. That's what Rabbi Kiva said, lefikach, therefore. That, what does that mean? The hashta, the amrit lo yishtamish ben. Now that this is what we said, that you can't not use the money, and therefore, shemesachar lehava, that you're not even a shemesachar v'lo mechayiv b'gneiva v'aveda, and therefore you're not responsible if it gets stolen or lost. So that would make sense, the two parts, this that he ends off the sentence, Rabbi Kiva, if you hold a grabba. Eliyam b'gneiva v'aveda. But if you say that regarding if it gets stolen or lost, the kuliyam le pligi dechav, then nobody argues, this is what Rabbi Yosef wanted to say in explanation of the machlekes Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Kiva, that they both agree that when it gets stolen or lost, that the person would be chayiv, the one who's watching the aveda. And ki pligi, their whole machlekes was only regarding ba'ins in the shayil, regarding if something happens that you could not have controlled, that then you're going to be liable. And that is because he wanted to explain that everyone holds like him, that of course, even if you cannot use the money, you're chayiv as a gneva v'aveda because of a shemer sachar, because of eisig mitzvah, patam and a mitzvah. So what are they arguing about in our Mishnah regarding the higher level of einzin? And that, the question is, my lefikach Rebbe Kiva, so how do we understand, what do these words mean that Rebbe Kiva says, and therefore, and as the Gemara explains, hachemi b'ayilei lemisna, according to Rebbe Yosef, all that Rebbe Kiva should have said was Rebbe Kiva aimer, Kiva says, lo yishtamish ben, you're not allowed to use the money. Now, Vanoyadana, and therefore I would have known without him finishing off the sentence. The Kivan Delayish Tamash Ben, since you cannot use the money, Lav Shoyel Hava. You're obviously not a borrower. A borrower is only, his essence of a borrower is that I'm using your object and not even paying for it. So that's why I'm responsible for these high levels of responsibility, like Einsen, like even something that happens against my will because of the great and pleasure that I'm getting out of it. But here, if I cannot even use it, I would know, obviously, not a borrower, because you're not even using it. And then I would know you're not responsible for something like Einsen, because that's what Rav Yosef is saying they're discussing. What responsibility are we talking about? Responsibility of Einsen. Now, Lefikat Rabbi Kiva Lomali, therefore, why do I need this, therefore, that he finishes off a sentence? I know that, of course, if you tell me he doesn't use it, I know he's not a borrower, because a borrower is only someone that's taking that person's ball and saying, here, could I borrow your ball? And I'm using it without paying you, so that's total pleasure. I'm getting only good without giving you anything in return. So then I'm responsible for not only Pshia, not only Gnei Vaveda, but even Einsen. But if we're already telling you you cannot use that person's money, I'm getting nothing out of it. If anything, I'm working for the money, I'm watching it, and I'm not getting paid. So why would I have to say and finish off the sentence, and that's why you're not responsible? Of course you're not responsible on Einsen, as Rav Yosef is saying, because I'm not using it. So on that, the Gemara explains, you're right. You really don't have to say the rest of the sentence, but Mishum Lefikach Reb Tarfon, it was because of the first opinion. Reb Kiva was arguing on the first opinion of Reb Tarfon, that Reb Tarfon said, therefore. And that as Reb Tarfon said, because you can use the money, that's why you're going to be responsible for the Einsen, as Rav Yosef had explained, Reb Tarfon's opinion, that it meant that because then it becomes like a shayel, because you can use it without paying him for using it. But then the Gemara asks, Olafik Reb Tarfon Lamali, why did we need to say therefore by Reb Tarfon? Well, I mean, of course, if you're using the object, you're a shayel, because you're using his money that he had lost without paying him for using it. That's your classic shayel, a borrower. Right? If you have someone else's object and you're using it without paying him, of course you're going to be Chayav Einsen. Why did Reb Tarfon have to say Lefikach? And that's why you're saying Reb Kiva kept the same form of the first opinion to say also Lefikach. Why did the first opinion have to say Lefikach? And then the Gemara says, Hachikama. This is what Reb Tarfon was saying, why he had to say Lefikach. And that is, Kivan de Sharu Le Rabbanon Lishtamushi Begavayu. Since the Rabbanon, our sages, permitted this person to use the money, then even if he's not using the money, it's as if he is using the money, as if he took the opportunity to be a shayel, and therefore, that's the lafikah. And that's why he is liable in the responsibility, because although I don't want to use his money, I'm not using his money, why should I be responsible for Einsen? That's the chiddush. Since he is able to, it's as if he already borrowed it, now he's choosing not to use it. But since he is able to, that gave him already a status as a shayel, and that's why, since he's allowed to, that's already a certain status that he attains, and that's why he's chayiv machrius, and that's the chiddush of Reb Tarfon's lefikach, that is because you could use it, therefore you're already responsible as if you are using it. And the Reb Kiva kept the same style, so to speak, that he also said the word lefikach, but you're right, according to Rav Yosef, there's no necessity for saying lefikach, because if you're not using it, of course you're not going to be chayiv nachrais of Einsen. Now the Gemara asks, on the whole explanation that Rav Yosef just gave, Rav Yosef, to answer the question on him from Rabbah, that it sounds like our Mishnah was, they were arguing about if you're going to be responsible, not only if you can use it, but if you cannot use it, then everyone would agree you wouldn't be responsible. Hi, according to Rav Yosef, he holds you are responsible even if you can't use it just by watching it. So Rav Yosef answered, says, no. They're not talking about Gneva Vaveda. That, of course, they'll hold you responsible even if you can't use it, just because you're going to be that there's a sachar, there's a reward of not having to give the poor man money. Their whole machlekes was regarding Einsen. And that the Gemara asks, but read the words of the Mishnah. V'avdu katani. The Mishnah says, if it gets lost, a glaring question, that Reb Tarfon says clearly, says, yishtamash ben, you could use it, therefore, im avdu, if it gets lost, you're responsible. Reb Kiva says, you cannot use it, therefore, if it gets lost, you're not responsible. How could Rabbi Yosef say this whole answer by saying, oh, they're arguing regarding Einsen, but Kneva Vaveda, they both agree that if it gets stolen or lost, then you're going to be Chayiv, and therefore you're going to be responsible and Chayiv in Aveda, when Rabbi Kiva says clearly that you're going to be exempt from Aveda, and because since you can't use it, even though you're busy watching the Aveda, even though you're busy watching the lost object. So how do we understand the opinion of Rabbi Yosef to say that they're arguing about Einsen when clearly the words of the Mishnah are regarding Kneva Vaveda? So now we continue on to Amud Beis, where the Gemara answers Kidir Rabba, that we can interpret the words in our Mishnah, if it gets lost, how Rabba did, Similarly, in the Gemara in Perek Hazav, later on, Daf Nun Chesamid Aleph, regarding the people of a city that sent their shkolim, they sent with a messenger to Yerushalayim. The Rabbah had interpreted, when it said Nignivu Einevdu over there, that if it got stolen or lost, he explained it doesn't mean that middle category, right? There's Pshia on the lowest, and there's Gneva Veda, and then there's Einzin. He interpreted in categories of Einzin. How so? When it says Nignivu was stolen, he said it meant Ballistim Mezuyim, with armed bandits. Who that's, if it gets stolen from you in such a situation, that's, I had no control over that whatsoever, that's considered an oinus. Avdu, he says, when they explained to me that it was lost, it was shetava sfinasa bayam. That meant that the person's ship sank by sea, so although it was lost, but it was in the form of an oinus. It was that you have no control over the mighty waves of the sea, and therefore that's exactly what our Mishnah means over here, that it's not difficult to Rav Yosef, because although the words are saying that they're arguing about if it gets lost, they're not arguing about regularly getting lost. Regularly getting lost and stolen, they both agree you're going to be chayav, like Rav Yosef, because you have a status of a Shem Yisachar. Although it says the word lost, it means lost in the way of like tavas v'nasa bayam. When the ship sinks at, yes, it gets lost at sea, as the term is said. But is that considered an aveda? No. There was nothing you could do about it. A regular aveda, you could have been more careful, you could have protected it more, and therefore that's why Shem Yisachar would be responsible. But what they're talking about is a category that only Shoyl would be responsible for that type of aveda. What type of aveda is that? Like getting lost at sea, where that is considered an einus, and that is what they were arguing about. But again, regarding regular getting aveda, they both agree to Rabbi Yosef that yes, you'd be chayv. Now regarding the halacha, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, halacha k'Reb Tarfon. The Rabbi Yehuda says the name of Shmuel, the halacha falls like Reb Tarfon, that the one who found the lost object is allowed to use it, and because he's allowed to use it, lefikach, he's going to be chayv nachrayis. Now, what type of achrayis? That's machlekes Rabbah and Rav Yosef regarding the specific understanding of a Mishnah, if that means gneva aveda, or like Rav Yosef, it even means that you'd be chayv in einzin as a shayl. So now the Gemara brings a story related to this, biyad Rechava, that in the hands of Rechava, that's a person's name, havali hanu zuzidi yasmi, there were these coins of the orphans that he was watching these coins for them. So aslika made Rav Yosef, he came in front of Rav Yosef. Amale, he said to him, he asked him a shayla, what is the halacha? Am I allowed to use these coins of the orphans that I'm watching for them? I'll pay them back when they get older and they want to use the money. But what's right now? Could I use this money for things to purchase? So he said to him, quoting what we just said, Hachi am Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, halacha k'Reb Tarfon, halacha falls k'Reb Tarfon. Now what did he mean by that? He meant to say that when you're watching someone else's money, you're allowed to go ahead and use it, and that's why you're responsible for the achrayis. But therefore, the halacha that he was telling him is that you can go ahead and use the money, because that's the same as watching someone else's money. However, Amalei Abaya said to him, "V'lav itmar law, but didn't we learn regarding this halacha? Amr Reb Chelba and Reb Huna loy shanu. We didn't learn the halacha of Reb Tarfon that you're allowed to use the money. Ela b'dimei aveda, only with regards to the money of the lost object. What does that mean? That means to say that there was a lost object. Then you sold it after you were busy with it. As Chacham said, how long do you have to be busy with it? 30 days, 3 months, 12 months, whatever it is that you have to be busy with it. And then you have to go ahead and sell it and then get the money for that. That's where we said that Hoyl v'tarachba, since you exerted a lot of effort, you first got the object, you watched it, then you sold it. So because of that effort that you invested, Chacham said, we go ahead and we say you can use it. And therefore, again, since you can use it, you have a high level of achrayas, of responsibility. But money that was lost, for example, as Rashi says, usually although money is that's lost, you can keep it. So there's never such a case even that you would have to watch it to return it. But there are certain cases, let's say when you find money in a purse, or if you find 3 coins stacked up like a tower, which we said that those things have some on them, then you would have to return that money. But if you find money itself, that you did not put any effort into the money, not like the other case that we said where there was an object, it was a calf, and then you put in the effort, then you sold it, now you have the money. There we said you can go ahead and use the money. But when you didn't put in the effort, loy, then you cannot use it, because why should we let you use this other person's money? We only let you in the other way because of the effort that you invested. And therefore, Abaye said, Vahani kamois aveda damu. These monies that he's watching of the orphans essentially is the same thing as monies that were found, which is just like over here by the Yisraelim, they gave him, they deposited by him, he has their money. He didn't take their possessions and sell it, so he's just watching their money. Therefore, it's the equivalent type of halacha, and therefore, you cannot use it, because we only said that chiddush of Reb Tarfon, that you could use it only when you put an effort, and here he didn't put an effort. Samalei, so he went back and he responded. He says, Zil, go away. Leshavki li de ishrilach. They don't allow me to permit this for you, although I was about to permit it for you with the halacha of Tafrin, but they told me that it doesn't apply to such a situation since you didn't put an effort into it. That's the same thing as the case of Mo'is Aveda, and therefore you cannot use the money of the orphans. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. Again, continuing on the theme and the same idea as the previous Mishnah about going through the tircha and the effort, what to do when you have a lost object. You can't just put it in your house and just leave it. You have to take care of it to be able to return it in the state that's proper for the person to get back what was lost. So the Mishnah tells us, Matzah Svarim. If you find Svarim, you find books, Kari Behen Echad L'Shleshim Yom. So you read it once every 30 days. And the reason is because if you just leave it closed, then they become moldy and they become old, and they start falling apart. So therefore, as Rashi explains, that their Svarim were made like scrolls. So when you open it up and you read it, so that's going to prevent it from falling apart, from becoming old, moldy, and you open it up and the ear gets in. So that's why you do it once every 30 days. Vim any day liquor. So if you don't know how to read, so you can't read from it every 30 days. So then you do just like the Gaylin, you roll it. In other words, you roll it from the beginning to the end, and then the ear will be able to get in. That will prevent it from becoming moldy and getting decomposed. So that's why you go ahead and you either read it or you roll it. Avol, however, lo yilmud behen b'tchila. You shouldn't learn from it for the first time. What does that mean, from the first time? Don't learn from that sefer something that you never learned before, because then you're going to have to keep it at it for you for a long time, because you never read this before, you never learned this before, it's going to take you a long time. And that's already using it too long. And therefore, the thing might get ruined. So therefore, you want to only learn from it something that you already read once before, so it only has to be a little bit just to get the ear in, and then you close it up again. And similarly, you shouldn't have someone else reading or learning with you at the same time. And the reason is because when you have two people, so one's pulling this way, and the other one's pulling this way, and it's going to end up getting ripped, and we don't want this person's object to get ruined. So again, it shouldn't be something that you never read before, and it also shouldn't be with two people at the same time. Now the Mishnah moves on to another case. Matzah Ksus. If you found clothing, a garment, so Menara Echad L'Shleshim Yom, you shake it out once every 30 days, and V'Shaytcha L'Tzarka, you also spread it out for its need, in other words, so that the ear should get to all parts of the garment, that it shouldn't, again, it shouldn't fall apart, and that the moth shouldn't eat it up. All these things, you want to be able to get it open, that it should be able to ear out, that the object should keep in the state that it was when it was lost. However, Mishnah tells us, although you should spread it out for the necessity of the garment, but not for your own honor. And that is, if let's say it's a beautiful garment that you found, and you're having guests over, and you want to hang it up, that people should see it, that you're not allowed to. You're only allowed to do it for the necessity, for the needs of the garment itself. The next case the Mishnah speaks about is klei chesed v'klei nechashes, silver vessels and copper vessels, mishtamish ben letzarkon. So that you use them for their needs. Now, what does that mean? It means because in the ground where they used to keep it, if you keep it there too long, it starts deteriorating. And that is, as Rashi explains, they had to keep it in the ground, as the Gemara says later on, that the only way to properly protect these types of vessels is to go ahead and keep it underground. And therefore, you have to sometimes take it out to use it, because if you leave it in too long, it's going to begin to deteriorate. Avaloy l'shachakan. However, not that it's going to get worn out. And that is, don't use it so long that it's going to get worn out. And therefore, although you should take it out of the ground sometimes, that it shouldn't deteriorate, but not for too long. Again, we see this pattern with these different things, that you have to take it out sometimes, because or else it's going to get moldy, or it's going to get deteriorated, it's going to fall apart. But don't use it too long, because then it's going to wear it out that way. Next case in the Mishnah says, klei zahav v'klei zchuches, golden vessels and glass vessels, lo yiga behen atshayav aliyahu. Don't touch them until a Yahu Nevi comes. In other words, take it home, but never touch it after that. And the reason is because gold doesn't deteriorate in the ground, so you could just leave it there. And glass might break, so don't use that anyway either. Matzah sakai kupa, if you find a sack or a box, v'chol davar she'ein darkei litel, or anything that is not his, as you see the word darkoi, it's not his way to go ahead and take it. In other words, something that's embarrassing or degrading for a person, let's say a respectable person, and he doesn't usually take even his own box. He wouldn't go ahead and take it in from outside into his own house for it to be protected, because it doesn't, like it's called, it doesn't pass. It's not fit for him to do such a thing. And that the Mishnah ends off by saying, Harei zeh lo yitol. For that you don't have to take, and you're actually exempt from the chiyuv, from the obligation of Hashavas Aveda, as the Gemara in the next daf will teach us, from Bisalamta. That is, which in context, it's saying that you're not allowed to keep a blind, turn a blind eye from returning something. But Vesalamta says, and that you will turn a blind eye, that sometimes you are allowed to turn a blind eye of not returning it when it doesn't pass, when it's not fitting for that person. He wouldn't even do it for his own things. He doesn't have to do it for someone else's things either. So now the Gemara quotes a statement that's related to our Mishnah. Amar Shmuel. Shmuel said, Hamaitzei tefillin bashuk. If someone finds tefillin in the marketplace, Shum de Mehen, he assesses its value and he sells it. Umanichin la'alta, and he puts it on the side and he keeps it in his house. Right away he goes out and sells it. Now that the Gemara asks Masa Ravina, we learned in our Mishnah, Matzah Svarim, if you find Svarim, which are again are scrolls, that's how it was in their days, Karibahen Echid L'Shleishim Yom. So you read from it once every 30 days. As we said, it shouldn't get moldy, it shouldn't deteriorate. V'meni Dei Likris, if he doesn't know how to read it. So Gailin, he rolls it, again, because he doesn't know how to read, so he rolls it from the beginning to the end. So that the Gemara makes a diyuk, it makes an inference to ask the question, what Gailin in? So what it says is that you should roll it, but Sham Demein Manich and Lai, but it doesn't say anywhere that you assess its value to sell it and then leave it on the side, which means to say, if someone loses a scroll, you hold on to it. You take care of it by rolling it once every 30 days. So why is tefillin any different? What are tefillin? Tefillin are scrolls inside a box. Now, why by tefillin do we say that you sell it right away? And by regular svarim, we say you hold on to it and then you take care of it. It's maintenance by rolling it once every 30 days. And that Amar Abaye. Abaye says there's a difference between tefillin and all other svarim. Because tefillin, be bar chavu, in the household of bar chavu, who's such a person that would make tefillin, mishkach shchichi, it's commonly found that you could go ahead and buy. He has so many pairs of tefillin to sell, and there's no problem about selling off his tefillin, because whatever tefillin it is, you give him the money, he'll right away be able to go back and buy a new pair of tefillin, because there's many, many pairs of tefillin available. However, svarim le'shchichi, svarim are not commonly found. This exact book, this exact sefer that he has, he might not be able to get, and therefore we don't sell it off because he won't be able to get it. So even if you give him the money, he's going to say, what does that help? I won't be able to get the sefer. And that's why there you hold on to it and you take care of it once every 30 days. But tefillin is different since it's so commonly found. It's not a big deal. You give him the money, he'll be able to right away go ahead and buy a new pair of tefillin. Turn up on. We learned the Braisa, a similar halacha to our Mishnah regarding the maintenance of objects that you found that were lost. A similar halacha regarding someone that borrows something. Hashayol sefer Torah mechaver. Someone that borrows a sefer Torah from his friend. So harize lo yishalenu la'achar. So first halacha the Braisa says is you're not a lender then to someone else. You're a borrower. You can't go ahead and lend it to someone else. Now, paischei v'kariba, you can open up this sefer Torah and read from it. As long as you don't learn from it something for the first time that you never learned before. Again, a similar halacha, like we said regarding the lost object, that although we tell you to open up and read it, not something new. Using something new is really using it hard because you're going to have to keep it open for a long time. So even though you're borrowing the Sefer Torah, you're not allowed to learn from it something that you never learned before. And similarly, you're not allowed to read from it with someone else, again, because it's going to ruin that other person's Sefer Torah. Another halacha similar to these halachas, his hamafkid sefer Torah etz chaver, someone that deposits a sefer Torah by his friend. So again, a similar halacha to when you find a lost object when you're a shomer, you're watching it. Here also, you're watching someone else's sefer Torah. He gave it to you to hold it for him, to watch it for him. So gai l'loy kol. So the first opinion that the Braisa quotes is gai l'loy kol shneim asa chaydush. So you roll it once every 12 months. You don't roll it for the entire 12 months. Once every 12 months, you roll it. Again, for maintenance, that it should be ear out. And paischei v'karibai, you can open it and you can read from it. However, in bishviloi paschai, if he's opening it for himself, which the Gemara is going to explain, how do we understand these two contradictory statements? First, it says that you can open and read from it. And then it says, but if you, in bishviloi paschai, if you open it for yourself, then asanen is forbidden, which seems to contradict, to be a steer to what it just said before, that you could open and read from it. And then it says, but if you open it for yourself, then you can't read it. That's the first opinion, that you roll it for once every 12 months. Some chasayim, the second opinion is, b'chadosh, by a new sefer Torah, shleishim yom. There you roll it once every 30 days. B'yashin, by an old one, shnei masach chedesh, once every 12 months. So he says there's a difference if it's new or old. But lezman Yaakov, the third opinion is, echadzeh, either an old one or a new one, is shnei masach chedesh, is 12 months. Now the Gemara says, amamar. It goes, it says, the master said, which we're going to quote statements from the Braisa and discuss them. Hashoyel sefer Torah mechaver. So the Braisa said that whoever borrows a sefer Torah from his friend, harizu lo yishulen l'acher. You now let it go ahead and lend it to someone else. That the Gemara asks, my ear, your sefer Torah. Why did our Braisa need to tell us this halacha regarding a sefer Torah, which it's very easily ruined if it gets smudged or if it gets ripped, gets torn? It's very easy for it to get ruined. And that's what you're saying. Okay, so you just know that the sefer Torah, you're not going to go ahead and lend it to someone else. You're yourself a borrower. Can't give it to another borrower. But why say it by something like a sefer Torah, which of course you cannot because it's going to get ruined so easily. I feel like kol milinami, everything that you borrow, you can't lend to someone else. As the Amar Reb Shimon ben Lakish, Shimon Lakish said that kan shana Rebbe. This is where Rebbe taught us this following halacha, although he didn't say it straight out. He was essentially teaching us a very important halacha, and that is as Rashi explains. What's this kanshan the Rebbe? Here is where Rebbe taught us. It's a Mishnah Masechtas Gittin of Chavtes Med Alf, that the halacha says, if someone sends a get, he sends a messenger to bring a divorce document from him to his wife in Eretz Yisrael, so that person can then send it with another shliach. The shliach can send another shliach to go ahead and deliver the get. However, the Mishnah tells us, if the husband, the one who's sending the get, told the messenger, look, when you get to her and you give her the get, I want you to take back that object from her that she has, that's mine, to bring it back to me. And that, the Mishnah says, then he's not allowed to send another shliach to complete the mission and then to take back the object. As the words are, she'ein ritzayin ishehei pekdoin biyad achar. Because the one who's sending the messenger, I don't want my watch, for example, to be in someone else's hands. I don't trust just anybody. To deliver the get, yes, you can send the shliach to go ahead. But my object that I'm asking you when you finish the mission to bring that back to me, I don't want just anyone to have it. And therefore, he's not allowed to get a different messenger to complete it because only he was entrusted with that and he has to come back. On that, Rish Lakish said that this is where Rebbe taught us in this Mishnah, Rebbe, he was the one that created the Mishnayos, he put them together. So when it didn't say a name over there, it was Rebbe that was putting in this message. What message is that? That Ein Hashoyel Risho LaHashel. The borrower himself cannot go ahead and then lend it to someone else. Ve'ein HaSeicher Risho LaHasker. And the renter can then not go ahead and lease it and then rent it out to someone else. And that is because by all these cases of a borrower and by a renter, it applies this halacha of Ein Ritzayin Eshehe B'Gedoyin B'Yad Acher. I don't want my object to be in someone else's hands. I trust you. I'll rent it to you. I'll lend it to you. But don't go ahead and lend it to someone else. And therefore, the Gemara's question is, why say this halacha in our braisa just with a sefer Torah, who, of course, you don't want someone else to have it? Because it could get very easily ruined. Why say it? We already know it as a general halacha for all cases, any object. And that, the Gemara answers, no, sefer Torah itzuchale. We had to tell you this chiddush in our braisa specifically for sefer Torah. And that is because ma de tema, I would have thought to say, a person would prefer that a mitzvah be done with his money. And that is this Torah scroll, this Sefer Torah. I know I lent it just to you, but someone else needs it for a minyan. I want my objects to be done with a mitzvah with it. I want a mitzvah to be done with my money. And therefore we would say, maybe here, although generally I don't want other people to have it, only the one I trusted. But for a Dvar Mitzvah, I would. Kamash Mulan, although a person, yes, wants mitzvahs to be done with his money, but with my knowledge. If I lend it to you, I rent it to you, I want only you to have it, even by a Sefer Torah, which a mitzvah would be done with it, that's what we have to tell you, that even there you say, I don't want my object in someone else's hands without my permission. So then the Gemara continues to explain the next case of the Braisa. The Braisa said, so you open it, and you read from it, this is the Sefer Torah that you had borrowed. And the Gemara asked, Pshita, isn't it pretty obvious? He borrowed the Sefer Torah. Why am I borrowing a Sefer Torah? As decorations? Of course, to read from it. So why does the Braisa have to tell us that, and he could open it and read from it? And the Gemara says, you're right, you didn't have to say that. But Sefer Eschale, it was said as a contrast, meaning as to say the opposite on some level of the Sefer, which the Sefer then says, Ubovachala Yimulboy Betchila. As long as you don't learn from it, something that you never learned before, that's the first time you're learning from it, that even though you borrowed it from it, that you cannot, because that's going to ruin it. You're going to be opening it and sitting on it too long. And therefore, that's why we said, that you're allowed to open it, but not something that's going to be the first time. So yeah, the chiddush was not in the first part, but it was in relation to the second part. Then the Braisa said, V'china mafkid sefer Torah etzel chaver. Similarly, if someone deposits a sefer Torah by his friend, that his friend should watch it for him, Gaylaloi kol shnei masachedish, he rolls it once every 12 months, and Pesche v'karibay, and he opens it and he reads from it. And the Gemara asks, Maya vedete gabei, what does this Sefer Torah doing by this person? Now, what does that mean? So Rashi explains. The Gemara assumes right now that when it says that he opens it and he reads from it, sounds like for his own needs, meaning he can go ahead and use it, as it sounds like from the case that when you borrowed it, you could open and read it. Here it sounds like also when he gave it to you to watch for him, that you could also open it and read it for your own needs, not for the needs of the Sefer Torah. And because it said already, the needs of the Sefer Torah when you're deposited by you, as it said, that you roll it once every 12 months. So it already spoke about opening it for the needs of the Sefer Torah. So what does it mean then when it says, it sounds like that you could open it and read it for your own needs. And therefore the Gemara asks, what does this person have to do with rights to read in the Sefer Torah for himself? No one ever gave him the rights to borrow it. You're just watching it. I didn't say you couldn't use it. So why do we say that you could open and read from it? That's one question. But Sue, another question is that as we had mentioned before, we alluded to this, that the Brisa then continues, says, "In b'shvilei paschei," but if he opened it for himself, then also that's forbidden. That you're not allowed to do. Here where you're just supposed to watch it, and you're not a borrower, you're not a shayel, you can't open it for yourself. But Ha'amrit, you just said before, paschei v'karibay, that you could open and read from it. How do I understand this? So on that the Gemara says, "Hachi kamar," those two questions really answer themselves. That is, it's a continuation from the beginning part of that case. It said that it spoke about that you're goyloi kol shnei masachedish, you roll the Sefer Torah once every 12 months. And then that is what the Brisa is continuing and saying, im kishu goyloi, if when he's rolling it, which was for the purpose of the protecting of the Sefer Torah, which is what he's doing, he's watching it, then if he opens it as he's rolling it to go ahead and make sure it doesn't get moldy, then mutter, that's permitted for him to read as he's rolling it, because that's not for his own needs. However, that's what the Brisa continues to say, im b'shvilei paschei asra. But if he's opening it for himself, then that's forbidden. You're right, he has no rights to go ahead and use it. It's just saying, when you're rolling it, then you're allowed to read it as you roll it. The Brisa quoted regarding the first opinion was, you roll it once every 12 months. The next opinion said, simcha sayimer b'chadish, buy a new Sefer Torah shleishim yom, once every 30 days. And that's because the new ones tend to get moldier and ruined faster than the old ones. Therefore, that has to be once every 30 days. But Yashin, by the old ones, Shnei Masachedish, only once every 12 months. Elizabeth Yaakov, he said, Echadze, Shnei Masachedish, either old or new, is only once every 12 months. On that, the Gemara asks, Rabbi Elizabeth Yaakov, Haini Tanakamam, the third opinion is the same as the first opinion. The first opinion didn't say new or old, but it just said, no matter what the Sefer Torah is, once every 12 months. And here, Rabbi Elizabeth Yaakov is saying the same thing. He's just saying, either new or old is once every 12 months. So what's he saying differently that he's saying a third opinion? Elamer rather say, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Echadzeh ve'echadzeh shloishim yoim. Either the new or the old is not once every 12 months, but once every 30 days. And then Rashi actually points out that our Mishnah that teaches regarding the lost object, that you read it once every 30 days and it doesn't differentiate. It doesn't make a difference in our Mishnah to say if it's new or old, to say to take care of the Aveda when you're a Shomer, which is the same case similarly as Hamafi, that you're a Shomer. To say the difference, that obviously is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who he's the one that says that no matter if it's old or new, you go ahead and you roll it once every 30 days. Then the Mishnah said, "Avlo yilma b'betchila." Our Mishnah said that you go ahead and you take care of the Sefer Torah and you read it once every 30 days. If you don't know how to read it, then you roll it. However, it said that although you're allowed to read it, but don't learn from it something. Lo yimad by betchil, don't read from it something that it's the first time you're learning it. And lo yikra acher imay, don't let someone else read with you, because then these two ways are going to ruin it. That the Gemara asks, Reminu, seems to be a contradiction on this halacha of lo yikra acher imay from a brisa. The brisa says that lo yikra parsha b'yishna, regarding this lost object that you found, although we say you read it once every 30 days, don't read from it the parsha and then review it again. And v'leyikra by parsha v'targum, don't read the parsha and then read the targum, the Aramaic. And that is because you do shnai mikra becha targum, you have to read the parsha two times and do the targum. So I say you could do the parsha one time, but don't do it either twice or don't do it with its targum, with its the Aramaic translation. V'leyiftach by yisim gimel dafin, you shouldn't open it more than three columns. V'leyikra by shleichim in the other mikerach echad, and you shouldn't have three people reading from one volume. Now the question is, Hashnayim Kairin, it sounds like but two people could read from one volume at the time, and our Mishnah said that only one person could, but not two. So is it two or is it three that you cannot? Our Mishnah says two cannot. Everybody sounds like two you could, only three you cannot. And then Abaye Abaye says loy kasha. It's not a contradiction. Khan in our Mishnah is tuma b'inyin echad. When they're reading one parsha, then you cannot read even two at one time, only one. Khan b'shnei inyanim. The Bryce was talking about two different parshas, that this one's reading on this column, this one's reading on this column. Then two people could, because then you're not going to come to pull the one from the other, because there's room for two people. If it's one column, so he's going to pull, that is even two cannot. But when one's reading one column, the other one's reading the other column, that you could do two at a time, that is, the Bryce says, would only be a problem with three. Three would be too much, then it would get torn. However, two, if it's two different inyanim, then you're allowed to, and it's not a contradiction. Our Mishnah is one inyan, the Bryce was talking about two different topics. Then the Gemara continues discussing our Mishnah. It said, Matzik sus. If you find a garment, you find clothing, minara echad l'shleishim yom, you shake it out once every 30 days to make sure it doesn't get moldy, that it doesn't deteriorate. That the Gemara asks, lememra denir ma'alilot. So that sounds like that shaking it out is something that's beneficial. It's good for the garment to do that. But that the Gemara asks, Bam Rabbi Yechon. Rabbi Yechon said the following statement that sounds like that shaking it out is harmful for the garment. Rabbi Yechon said like this. Says, Misha Yeshle Gardi Umin B'Tech Beisa. If someone has a professional weaver in his home, now weaver is weaving is a way, a process of making clothing. And what he meant to say is if you have your own weaver in your house that could constantly be making you new garments, so then Yinar Kesusa B'Chol Yem. Then shake out your clothing every single day. Now basically what he was saying was to hint, and that is, don't shake it out too much because it's harmful for the clothing. He's saying, look, if you have professional garment makers in your house all day, yeah, go ahead and shake it out every day. But it sounds like that don't do that because it's going to get ruined. So that contradicts our Mishnah that said that it's beneficial for the garment to shake it out. And here it sounds like you shouldn't. So then the Gemara gives four answers. First answer is, Amri, they said, B'chol yom kashila, read the words of Rabbi Yechonon. Shake it out every day if you have professional weavers, which sounds like if you do it every day, that's harmful. Echad l'shleishim yom, ma'alila. If you do it once every 30 days, that's beneficial. You don't want to do anything too much. Altmit atzi is nishkid. You don't want to do something that's going to pull too much. Yes, once every 30 days is okay, but don't do it every single day. Ibai seima, or if you want, you could say a second pshat, is like kasha. It's not a difficulty because our Mishnah is talking about b'chad. We're talking about one person. When one person does it, when he shakes it out, it's not going to tear because he's shaking it out. It's not so harmful. But Rabbi Yechon is talking about betray when two people are doing it. When you have two people holding the other ends and you shake out, when you shake out your linen, and now it's going to be stretched out more than it should, and that's going to be harmful for it, that you shouldn't be doing, because that shaking out is really going to ruin it. But one person shaking it out is not so harmful. That actually is beneficial, like our Mishnah says. Ibai say, if you want, you could say a third resolution for this question. Loikash, it's not difficult. Our Mishnah was talking about biyada. When you do it by hand is not going to be so harmful. But Rabbi Yechonon was told that it's harmful is b'chutra. When you do it with a stick and you're banging it and shaking it out, that banging is very strong. That will ruin the garment. And finally, Ibai Sem, if you want, you can say a fourth pshat. The loy kasha, it's not a difficulty. Because the case of Rabbi Yechonon that was saying that it's going to be harmful to shake it out was b'de amra. Was talking about wool. Wool is very harmful when you shake it out because it gets stretched and it gets torn. Our Mishnah was talking about b'de kisna, was talking about linen. Linen is a type of fabric where even if you shake it out, it doesn't get as ruined when you shake it out, and therefore that would be beneficial to do it, whereas Rabbi Yechon was talking about by wool, and those again are the four resolutions that to say if it's going to be harmful or beneficial to shake out a garment. Now, Rashi tells us that since we were talking about the different halachas of Rabbi Yechon related to Hilchas Derech Eretz, where he was telling us things of common usage, of things that you should do in your daily life, so therefore we say these other statements of Rabbi Yechon regarding regular usage of things in a person's life and how he should conduct himself. Rabbi Yechonon, kasa de charshan, a cup of the sorcerers, which basically he's saying that it's preferable, it's better for a person to drink a cup of the sorcerers, those that make witchcraft and spells on the drink that's in the cup, which is obviously harmful, but he was trying to bring across a point. It's better to drink that, but like kasa de patient, and not a cup of lukewarm water, because it's very harmful for the person. However, he does say there's three qualifications, there's three different ingredients necessary for the harmfulness of the lukewarm water. Because v'lo amarin, we didn't say that the lukewarm water is harmful, ela b'kli matris, only if it's in a metal kli, metal vessel, of b'kli cheris, less than, but if it's an earthenware cup, then that's not a problem, you could go ahead and drink the lukewarm water. And even more so, u'b'kli matris nami lo amarin, we also didn't say that it's going to be harmful if it's in the metal cup, ela d'lay tzvitz, only if it didn't come to a boil. But the tzvitz, less lamba, but if it already came to a boil, although now it's back to lukewarm, that's also not a problem. And third of all, we didn't say this only if you didn't put in tzivaya. Now what that means is that's anything that you put into a drink, to a beverage, for example, herbs or spices or the roots of different besamim, that is called tzivaya. That's only if you didn't put these things in. But if you put in tzivaya, then less lamba, that also wouldn't make a difference. So basically the lukewarm water was only a problem if it's lukewarm, it's in a metal vessel, it never came to a boil, and you never put in any of these spices, any of these herbs, then that's what Rabbi Yechon is saying, that this lukewarm water would be harmful and would be better almost to have the Kli Charishaya, that of the Charoshan, of the ones that are the sorcerers. But Rabbi Yechon, another a statement by Rabbi Yechon about a person's daily conduct is Misha Nich Le Aviv Mois Arbit. Somebody has a father that left him over a lot of money. For Reitz Labdin, and he wants to lose all the money. What he's basically coming to teach is that a person should not do these things, because whoever does these things is going to lose a lot of money. So he was using that as a setting stage for saying, look, if you have a lot of money, you want to lose it, yilbish bigdei pishtan, you should wear linen garments. V'yishtamash b'kli zchuchis, you should use glass vessels. V'yishkar po'alim v'yishimon, and you should hire workers, and don't sit next to them, don't watch them. And the Gemara explains specifically what he meant by these things. Yilbish b'kli pishtan, when he said that you should wear linen garments, it means bekisna rumisa. It means the Roman linen, which that was very expensive and it would get worn out very quickly. And v'yishtamash b'kli zchuchis, when he says you should use a glass vessel, b'zugisa chavarta is talking about white glass. And v'yishka poilim al yeshivimahen, you should hire workers and you shouldn't sit with them. Targuma, they interpreted what type of workers are we talking about that you hired. And we continue on the top of Lamed of Alf, is b'tayre. Tayre are those workers that you hired to lead your oxen. The nafesh psidayu, that with these workers, there's a lot of a loss of money when the owner does not sit there and watch over them. As Rashi explains, because most of the work in the times of the Gemara were on land, they would work on the field, and their work was done with oxen. Now, they would even take oxen when they would go ahead in the vineyards and to take and gather the grapes. And that is because they would have the oxen lead the wagons, and then those who would gather the grapes would go ahead and put on the back of the wagon. And they would put the grapes there. Therefore, as Rashi explains, if the owners are not there during the times of the workers with the oxen, there's going to be a great loss of money. Because the workers are not careful about the vineyard, and they're not careful about the oxen. And therefore, they're going to lead the oxen through the field. They're going to trample the grapes. They're going to trample the vines. And the vineyard's going to get ruined. And the oxen themselves are going to go into the different trees and different parts over there. And they're going to get banged up, and they're going to get ruined. So he's going to lose his oxen. He's going to lose his vineyard. And therefore, there's going to be a great loss. And that's what he meant. Those type of workers, if you don't watch them and make sure, go there, there's going to be a great loss. And so therefore, Rabbi Yechim is teaching that if you want to lose a lot of money, you go ahead and you do these three different types of things, and you'll have that loss of money.